taken from Romans, the 10th chapter, the 5th through the 17th verses, a rather familiar, in a way, passage. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down. Or 'Who will descend into the deep?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted good news, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ."
Thank you, Robert. Father, your word is good. Someone brought it to us. Someone allowed us to hear it. And in hearing, Father, we have believed. Help us to believe always. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm 55. That's sort of a surprising thing to me. I'm the double nickel. Yeah, you don't think of yourself being old at 55. I didn't think of myself being old at 30. I doubt I'll think of myself being old at 70. But sooner or later, at some point, you start thinking about who you are and what you are and what you want to leave behind or what's important in life. You ask yourself, what are the central questions in life? For some people, how can I be happy? That seems to be a little frivolous. How can I live a life of significance? You know, when I was a few years ago, they said at about age 50, you stop worrying about success and you start worrying about significance. What am I leaving behind? How can I create a legacy? Have I been a good man or a good woman? Now, I don't believe those are the central questions. I believe the central question, whether they understand it or not, is this: how can I be saved? How can I be saved? I think it's instinctive. We know that something is wrong, and we know that something has to be done about it, but we don't know how to make it right. We try a lot of avenues, but none of them are successful. We almost don't have a language for it. We catch a glimpse of it now and then, but somehow it always eludes us. What must I do to be saved? How is it that we are such capable individuals, that we have the capacity to create such beautiful things and such ugly things at the same time? We are capable of miraculous achievements only to see them twisted and just corrupted. We have the capacity for generosity and we have the capacity for enormous selfishness. We can create, but we're almost better at destroying. We are able to show kindness, but we have elevated cruelness to an art form. What's wrong with us? What is it that ails us? Well, I have an answer, but it's an answer most people don't like. We call it sin. We are sinners. We are broken. We are twisted. We are corrupt. We miss the mark. It hasn't changed from the beginning. We are even blind to the cause. We know what something is wrong, we just don't know what it is. And somewhere, if we're honest with ourselves, we understand that sin is all the words, all the thoughts, and all the deeds which are contrary to the will of God. We just don't believe it. We believe that if we try harder, we believe that if we study more, we believe that if we're kinder, more tolerant, we believe that if we are just better, then it's all going to work out. It never does. It never gets better. While we believe we know we can, the reality is that we can't improve or somehow redeem the situation. We need help. We need to be rescued. We need to be saved. We can't do it ourselves, and it only comes from the hand of God. If you look in your bulletin, you're going to discover that the catechism question for today, the faith building block, is this. What is salvation? Salvation is the work of God through Christ, which liberates people from sin and restores them to a right relationship with God. It is the work of God in Jesus Christ that liberates people from sin and restores them to a right relationship with God. It's God who rescues us. It is God who saves us in Jesus Christ. And you look at the verse, Acts 4:12, there is no salvation is found through him alone. In all the world, there is no one else whom God has given who can save us. Salvation has been our theme ever since the beginning. And it always has been in God's hands. It's in no one else's. Exodus 2:15, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. In my God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, the strength of my salvation. Isaiah 12, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Never once in all the scriptures does it say, you've got it, you're the solution, you're going to be fine on your own. Never once is that ever articulated. It is always our salvation is in God and God alone. It's a theme that Paul understood. He told the Romans this, and it's a verse I think we ought to put in our refrigerators or at work or put it on our screensaver on our computer, and it's Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God which brings salvation into my life for everyone, to anyone who believes. For the gospel of the righteousness of God is revealed, and it is a right relationship with God first to last. It is by faith and faith alone. You remember the story in the book of Acts of the guy who jailed Paul in Philippi? He said at the end of an earthquake, thinking his life was over, discovering that it was not, what must I do to be saved? How can you rescue me? How can you make my life better? And Paul said this, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. That's all it takes. You and I would believe in Jesus Christ. It is for by grace, not by your efforts, not by your good looks, not by your talents, not by your generosity. It is by God's loving care that you are saved. Through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by your abilities, lest you get braggy about it. That's an Anderson translation. For we are God's handiwork, you've built and created in Jesus Christ to do God's work that he created, prepared, and made ready for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2. You and I are saved by God. It is the work of God in Christ who liberates us from sin and restores to us a right relationship with God. Moses writes this about in verse number 10. It starts with verse 5. Moses writes us about righteousness that is by law. The person who does these things will live about them. He is recording Leviticus 18:5. The person who does these things will live by them. The person who fulfills the law. The person who does what is right. The person who catches all of the dots, all of the T's, everything is taken care of. The detailed individual. The person who follows meticulously the law. How many of you are meticulous people? Have you ever taken, there's an assessment called the DISC, D-I-S-C, DISC assessment. It's an interesting thing. I give them to couples that are getting married. I do a couples one and we kind of match how they are. D means you're a leader. You like to be in charge. I means that you're a people person. You like people. You're an extrovert. You enjoy people. You talk to anyone and anyone, everywhere. You talk to them. S means you're kind of like a caring person, see the baby, hold the baby, see the puppy, pick up the puppy. You care about people. People naturally trust you. C is an individual who likes to put everything in a place and a place for everything. They're always organized. No detail is too small. No job is left undone. Person in charge, people person, caring person, organized person. Guess which one I am? I am a very high I. It's my party, and I'll have fun if I want to. Guess which one I don't have any at all? You got it. You know, I've never met a detail I couldn't ignore. You know, I mean, I could, you know, I lose stuff all the time. Anybody here lose stuff all the time? Brother, sister, I can see you. I see that hand. Yeah. And the blessing is if you're married to a high C, they cover all your bases and look as if you have lost your mind. I have a second quality, and I like to be in charge. I'm a high people person. I like to be in charge, and I lose everything. Can you imagine what that's like? Yeah, I need a whole fleet of secretaries. Yeah, we're all different. The one who can do these things will live by accomplishment. The person who does these things will live by them. You know, for the most part, we don't stand a chance, do we? We don't stand the chance. The only person who has ever accomplished this is Jesus Christ. If you and I are looking for salvation, if you and I are looking for rescue, by our abilities and the accomplishments of keeping the regulations and laws that God has for us, we don't stand a chance. The only one who has ever successfully accomplished this is Jesus Christ. And thus, then, who believes in him has that benefit given to them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart. And he starts quoting Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 12, 13, and 14. And he says, first of all, don't say in your heart, who's going to ascend into heaven? That is, who's going to have to go up and bring Christ down? We don't have to ascend into heaven. We don't have to go up to God and say, what's your will? What's your intention? It's already there. We see Jesus. Jesus was part of us. He became flesh. He came down. We don't have to descend into the deep. We don't have to go down to Sheol, the place of the dead. The resurrection has occurred. The Messiah is among us. But what does it say? It says this. The word is near us. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. God was gracious to us that he gave us his will and understanding. The very fact that he gave us the law was an act of grace. God said, here's my intentions, here's what I want, here's my desire, all you have to do is do it. Well, it became quickly evident that we couldn't. And then he gave us Jesus Christ. He gave us that which is here. The word is near us. It is in our mouths, it's in our hearts, it's here. We don't have to wonder what God's desire is. And that is the message of faith which you and I proclaim. Paul is preaching a message of hope and grace, that God has reached out and given to us life. He has shown us what he desires, and we find what he desires in Jesus Christ. Excuse me. He has not only showed us what he wants, he's given us the avenue to accomplish it. If you, in verse number 9, do one thing, if you believe, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now, most of us can say that without anything at all. In fact, it is so common to us, we don't understand the power and significance of what he's saying. If you can say Jesus is Lord, if you can believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Can you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? I bet you right now you could go anywhere in your area. You can go say, Jesus is Lord. People might look at you and go, yeah, so what? They might look at you and go, oh, okay, no problem, stay over there. They're not going to arrest you. They're not going to punish you. But in the day of Paul, there was but one Lord. That was Caesar is Lord. We don't really have a Lord in our day and age. We have bosses. We have mayors. We have supervisors. We have presidents, senators, congressmen, but we don't have anyone who has absolute authority over our lives. We don't have anyone who can come up and say, today you will do this on pain of death. That was Caesar. They said, no, the only person who has absolute authority over our lives is Jesus. Jesus is Lord. By the way, that was the first confession of the church. It was used in worship all the time. Jesus is Lord. Every time they got together, they said, Jesus is Lord. Our allegiance belongs to him. Jesus is Lord. If you can confess that with your mouth, if you can believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Paul lays it out. What is salvation? Salvation is the fact that you and I have been liberated from the impact and the life of sin, and we now have a right relationship with God because we know that Jesus is Lord. We believe that God raised him from the dead. We know this for a fact. We know this as a reality. And you and I will be saved. We'll be saved from ourselves. We'll be saved from the results of sin. We'll be saved from our own actions, the ugliness that you and I have the absolute unlimited capacity to create. We are saved today, tomorrow, and forever. You and I have salvation in Jesus because we say that he is Lord. In fact, every Sunday we ought to get together. The first thing we ought to say is, Jesus is Lord. That's not a bad way to greet one another. Jesus is Lord. There is no one who has a higher authority. No one has more impact. No one has a greater influence on who we are than Jesus Christ. Is that true? Because that's how we're saved. That we belong to him and no one else. For it is with your heart that you believe and that you now have a new relationship with God. It is with your mouth that you make a profession of your faith and that you are saved. We confess and proclaim what we know to be true. And we make a declaration of what we stand on and what we live by and what we believe. Because, as Isaiah 28:16 says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. You can trust Jesus. You will never be put to shame. No difference between Jew and Gentile. Everyone is the same. The same Lord of all. And he richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that amazing? You know, we're kind of accustomed to think that. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Not just me, although it's sort of miraculous that I got in. Not just you. It could be that person down the street that you look at and you think is beyond capacity of help and hope. Oh, we'll never get to that person. We just got to let them know. There is no one beyond God's reach. There is no one beyond God's reach. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Salvation is the work of God in Christ Jesus, which liberates us from sin and puts us back into a right relationship with Him. When we believe and when we confess, we have salvation. When anyone believes, anyone confesses, they will have salvation. So where's the gap? That's verses 14 and 15. That's the gap. There's four questions, and I'm going to close with these questions really quickly. And they're all very logical. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? Makes sense, doesn't it? You don't know, you can't call. You don't know, you can't get there. You don't have the information, it's not going to work. Well, how can you know if you don't hear? If the information isn't given to you, how can you understand and how can you know it? You can't. How can you hear unless somebody preaches? Well, that doesn't happen. Finally, how can anyone preach unless they are sent? If we don't go, we can't preach. If we can't preach, they can't hear. If they don't hear, they can't believe. It's that simple. We always believe it's somebody else's task. Who told you? Who told you? Now, I know a lot of people told you, but think of just one. Who told you? Who took the time to tell you the story of Jesus? Maybe it was mom, maybe it was dad, maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a youth director, maybe it was a coworker, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a family member, but somebody took the time to go. Somebody took the time to tell. You had the opportunity to hear, and you had the opportunity to believe. It's your turn. It's your turn. I'm going to say something that sounds remarkably obvious, but it's not. You know people I don't. Isn't that true? You all know people I don't know. You all have inroads that I have no access to. Yeah, but you're the preacher. We pay you to do that. Remember, you're the one with the big mouth. You go tell them. You know people I don't. You go places I don't. You have social circles that I don't know. It's your turn to go. It's your turn to go. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful it is if you would just go. Well, I don't want to go. Well, I'm not asking you to leave Traverse City. I'm not asking you to move. I will guarantee you, you know someone who doesn't know Jesus. You know someone who doesn't know, who does not know Jesus. You know somebody who simply needs to know that God loves them. And you can work that into a conversation. I will guarantee you that if you're talking with somebody in the span of 15 minutes, you will have at least two opportunities just to drop something in about what you know and you believe about Jesus Christ. Just from what you've learned here today, you can drop in a number of things. You know, I wonder if life ever is going to be right. You know, I did that too for a long time, but I discovered I can't make it right. Jesus did it for me. That's it. Look at this world. Yeah, isn't it a mess? That's why I'm glad I believe in Jesus. He's the only one that makes it right. Now, I'm not asking you to get out there and say, you're a sinner. I'm not asking you, just get up there and say the good news that if you believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth, you know that the only answer is Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Here's 110 different ways. You can drop that into a conversation and let them hear and let them see. They may not do it the first time. It may take 10, 20, 45, 100. But you're the one. How beautiful are the feet. How beautiful are the feet. What is salvation? Salvation is the work of God in Christ Jesus that liberates us from sin and brings us back into a right relationship with Him. and the only way people know, and the only plan. Isn't it amazing? God said, your plan A, there is no plan B. Your plan A, there is no plan B. You're the one. You carry it, you go. You just take him the simple message that God is love. He is the answer in Jesus Christ, who died and was raised again in order that you might have new life. That's all it is. We know the story. Just tell it. He'll give you the words. He'll give you the strength. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God about Christ. For we have been saved. We have been rescued. God has brought us home. Somebody told us. Somebody cared enough to share with us. Let's pick it up and take it that one step and share it with our friends, our family, and those we care about. Salvation is a gift, not to be hoarded, but passed along. In Jesus' name, amen.